This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, well, we're going to do an arriving practice first. And then the topic that I was on a bike ride this morning and I was trying to think about what to talk about and kind of how to craft our time together today. And what came to me was just a practice on being present with emotions. And so that will be our focus. And so we'll do a shorter arriving practice so that we can settle and land. And then I'll give a little bit of education about emotions and our nervous system and, you know, kind of how we're going to do our practice. And then I'll guide you in a longer practice. And then we can have some questions and answers at the end. So that's sort of the layout of the next hour and a half. So your nervous system will know what to expect in this time. So then you can just settle. I know what's going to happen. That's good medicine. All right, so let's come into whatever posture feels comfortable for you to arrive today. And let your body adjust. You know, it's the end of the day, and just allowing your body to communicate to you what would be comfortable, what would be helpful in terms of posture and position. If you need to take a drink of water, all of that is okay. And I like to view an arriving practice as gathering the bits of ourselves that we have cast into the day, you know, into the technology and email and work and communications and friends, to begin to pull those pieces of ourselves back to ourselves. Right, whatever the scatteredness, all the different directions that we're pulled these days. See if you can bring these parts all back to yourself. And it can help to identify a somatic anchor. So maybe it's through the breath that you gather yourself up and feeling the sensations of the breath. Perhaps it's feeling the settled weight of your pelvis and bringing the parts of yourself back to land in this beautiful bony bowl of our pelvis, a beautiful receptacle for us. Maybe it's your toes or your back. And as you arrive, be curious as to how you feel. Like, what begins to happen as you settle, as you land back in your seat, in your place, whether it's your car or your home. What happens to your internal speed? Do you slow down a little bit? Are your breaths a little deeper? What does this feel like to invite the disparate parts of yourself back to center? Maybe there's a little centering that you feel, a little bit of being held by gravity, or that you've landed. Or maybe you're still feeling scattered. Or maybe you feel more tired now. All of these experiences are welcome to call back to yourself with. You might notice still wandering, speeding thoughts. Just acknowledge, mind, you're still going so fast. There's still scatteredness. I'm still planning. And I can come back to my breath. I can come back to this body anchor. I can continue to welcome home all the parts of me that are challenging. I'm going to share. I have two poems for you today, both from Rosemary Wetola Traumer. And I'll do the first one now. This is entitled When It's Just All Too Much. The more complex the problem, the more trapped, the more closed in I feel, the more I learn to trust what is simple. The way the potato in the cupboard does the one thing it can do. It calls on whatever thrives inside itself, then grows doggedly, awkwardly toward the light. I want to turn toward the life that lives through me, give it all my energy, offer it back to the world. So we're going to be potatoes today, doing what we do. You know how potatoes will grow their sprouts, and they can look really funny when they grow their little tendrils. And we're going to just Be present with what is and discover greater capacity within ourselves to keep moving toward the light, to keep growing. So thank you all for arriving with me. I hope you feel a little more centered. And if not, that's okay too. So when I was thinking about how we can be present with emotion, I've been practicing with grief in this last, oh, about 7 weeks. For those of you that have heard me talk before, you probably heard me mention my mom, and she did pass away on February 4th. She was 3 months shy of 104, and a very long life. And I was present with her for the last 4 days as she was going through her process. Thank you for the hearts. And it's been a difficult and fascinating and curiosity inducing and heavy and very different than what I expected. So, griefs show up very differently for all of us, depending on the relationship. And yeah, she had a very, very long life, a very challenging life, a very contemplative life. She lived at an ashram for since 1974. And so that practice helped her in her last year and a half of being bedridden, of not resisting what's happening. And so, whatever you do for cultivation of your mindfulness is very important. I asked her once, I said, "Does it just make you crazy sometimes that you can't get out of bed and walk?" And she goes, "Oh, not really. I just go for a hike in my mind, and it's really quite beautiful." And so, just that capacity to be with what is in the moment. I can't, my legs won't support me anymore. She kept falling all the time. In 1 week, she had three falls, and we needed to keep her safer. And so she really utilized a lot of what she learned over her mindful life. And she was no saint, right? And so what I noticed arising in my grief process was not missing her very much, because we spent a lot of time together in the last 13 years of my caregiving, but it was more grief around what I didn't get from her. And I was quite surprised by that, So sometimes one grief can open up doorways to so many other griefs that we haven't finished grieving. And not that you're ever finished grieving, but that you haven't maybe tended to. And so I didn't want to make this totally about grief today, because there's so many emotions. The world is so overwhelming right now, and there's so much happening. And so being present with whatever it is we're feeling. I had some ideas in my head, about grieving, and it's like, why haven't I cried? I've hardly cried. I've cried a bit, but not very much. And is that wrong? Is that right? So we can feel angry, and do we express that anger? Do we feel sad about what's happening? What do we do with our pain? What do we do with our joy? How are we in relationship to our emotions? It's quite a practice. And I grew up, I lived 8 years in a yoga community as well, and we were really taught to rise above our emotions and not to have negative emotions and to transform them and transmute them. And, they were emotions arose out of ego. And so, life gives all of us opportunities to turn again and again and again towards what's happening in this present moment with how we feel about so much. So, when we can attend to our emotions mindfully. The practice that we're going to be doing today is letting go of the story and being with more the somatic expression of our emotions. Because most of the time, when we feel an emotion, there's a huge storyline that's attached to it. Whether it's current events in the world that are happening and what we're feeling as we listen to news, or whether it's a family dynamics that's going on in your family or friendship circle, or whether it's, health issues, we go into, we extrapolate into story because we have story making minds. Our minds love, we are a story making people, species. We like to craft our stories, and they're important, and they can be a hindrance because often within the story, we amp ourselves into greater and greater emotion. And that's not always helpful. And often it becomes a loop where, oh, I'm sad and it's because of this. And, oh, this doctor told me that. And, oh, this is going on. And why aren't my friends? And it multiplies. And we get into unhelpful mental states and our body gets tense and it is not as helpful. So, if any of you took the MAPS class, which I have taught many of those classes, there was a week on pain and how to turn towards pain. And pain, is sort of very similar to having challenging emotions. It's pain is more body sense, emotions, are a little less concrete, it seems like. But often we miss out on tending to the kind of the raw experience of our emotions. We don't like to stay there that often because they can be hard, right? We want the good stuff, but not the challenging stuff. And so, similar to pain, we will be turning towards our emotions. We will be trying to stay out of the storyline, out of the ruminating, looping aspects, and really explore our somatic experience of our emotions. So, all emotions, every single one of them, have a corresponding body sensation. And this is bio-individuated. So each of us has kind of our own physiological signature of our individual emotions. So typically, I feel sadness in my chest, but some people feel it more in their eyes, some people more in their belly, some people, more in their back. Some people feel anger in their hands, some in their jaw, some in their brain gets really hot, So we all experience emotions differently. And what I have found so helpful in my own exploration of emotion is understanding my nervous system and that certain emotions are connected to different nervous system states. For example, you've all heard of the sympathetic nervous system, right? Our fight flight mechanism. So there are certain emotions that tend to happen in that state, which are anxiety, worry, agitation, anger, upset, irritability, fear. All of those things tend to be in this kind of speedy, hyper-aroused state that is the sympathetic nervous system. Conversely, our emotions of sadness and helplessness or hopelessness or depression or disconnection or loneliness or grief live in a different part of our nervous system, more of this kind of collapse, dorsal vagal freeze response where we kind of want to turn in and shut down. We don't want to go, out like with the sympathetic nervous system. And so for me, understanding, oh, this is what I'm feeling now, and this was my learning with grief. I imagined that I would be feeling really sad, and I was imagining sort of this dorsal kind of collapse and tearfulness. But what I felt more was, kind of upset and how could you not be with me when blah, 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 And it was like, huh. So my grief right now has been expressing more through my sympathetic nervous system, which I didn't really expect that because I had sort of, labeled grief as just sadness, right? But there's so much variety in our emotions. And so for me, when I'm in my sympathetic nervous system emotions, movement, mobilization is really helpful. If I can exercise or move or dance or shake or sigh or sing, it helps move those emotions because that part of my nervous system is sort of begging for mobilization. It's that fight flight. So taking a walk, mindfully knitting helps. And if I'm more in my, hopeless or feeling helpless or sad or in that kind of collapsed part of that overwhelm, sometimes it feels like I can't move and I'm just in a puddle. And so that calls for connection, right? Connection with another person, connection with an animal, connection with nature, connecting with my body maybe through very slow, gentle movements instead of exercise. And so we each have to figure this out for ourselves, but it can be a way that we can find our way through our emotions in a little more of an elegant way, right? In a way of responding rather than reacting. And curiosity is your friend. So, curiosity, which is part of mindfulness in such a beautiful way, is being interested in what's going on, whatever it is inside of you. And curiosity is a trait of our ventral vagal system. It's part of the parasympathetic, but it's our more open, receptive, curious, engaged, connected part of our nervous system. So, when we're curious about whatever it is we're feeling, we are automatically bringing in more regulation into our nervous system and our bodies just by being curious. So, before we start our practice, I'll just do a little note on having a trauma-informed practice with emotions. So, I invite you to titrate, which actually is a word from chemistry, but it's just like a little bit at a time. So we are going to have a longer practice, focusing on our body sensations of emotion and paying attention to them, noticing how they change or if they don't change. And you will have to honor your own capacity to stay with that process, right? So I can imagine that some of you are feeling big emotions, because I certainly am. And sometimes I have to do the hokey pokey with them, right? You put one toe in for a little bit, and then you take it out, and then you put it in again, and then you take it out again. And so If you feel like, whew, I just can't focus in my body anymore, it's too much, there's too many sensations, or this is just too much, take a break. Come back to your environment, maybe notice some colors or sounds, maybe go back to an anchor in your environment that is calming for you. And that then you can go back into practice when you feel ready. So this is the quality of titration, of pacing ourselves so that we don't blow through our capacity and overwhelm ourselves with our meditation. That's not going to be helpful if we do too much for too long. That's too intense. And so each of you will have to pay attention and be curious about, huh, how is this sitting with me right now? Do I need a little break? Can I come back to my space? Can I maybe listen to some external sounds? Can I get a drink of water? And then come back to practice and check in again with yourself. So, yeah, the hokey pokey, put your right foot in, shake it all about. And so the hokey pokey dance, those of you with gray hair like me, will remember that from camp or from whatever, school. It's a very titrated practice, right? You just put a foot in and take it out, and then you put the other foot in, and then you put your leg in and take it out, and the other leg, and you pretty soon you work to your whole body in and then your whole body out, and then you shake it all about. So it's a titrated, paced dance. And so we will do that with our practice today. So, are there any questions before we begin? You can always put them in the chat. We'll check in periodically on the chat. Oh, great. Thank you, Meg. Okay, let us begin. So again, whatever posture is easy for your body so that you can be curious about your experience. And as we settle in, remember that whatever it is that you're experiencing is welcome here. Resistance, excitement, overwhelm, underwhelm, not feeling anything, feeling a lot, feeling lots of different things. It's all happening, with us. There's a lot going on. And so everything is welcome. So, you may wish to choose an external anchor, something in your environment that you can hold, touch, look at, listen to, maybe even smell or taste. That if you need to, you can come back to as a grounding point. It could also be a sensation in your body, but sometimes, since we're going to be doing a lot of internal exploration of our landscape, just having an external anchor can be a nice way to titrate in and out of practice. So, choosing a sensory anchor in your external environment. And just notice that for a few moments. And notice as you focus your attention on this external anchor, what effect that that has inside of you. Is it calming? Does it feel stable or steady? And feel free, if your anchor doesn't feel quite right, feel free to choose another one. You don't have to struggle with making your first choice work. You can explore a bit in your external environment. And then I'd like you to invite your heart to share an emotion that you're currently feeling, to let it rise up to your awareness. And for some of you, this can take time. I've always been the person that has had very shy emotions. Sometimes when I invite them or turn to them, they all disappear. It's like they scatter. And it's like, you were just here. Where are you now? And if that happens, just wait, just be patient. And there may be some of you that have five or six emotions that are saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. So, I invite you to pick an emotion on the milder side to begin with. We'll have a chance to work with several emotions today. And just starting off with one that is a little milder. Maybe it was a frustration in traffic or, some technological challenge. And see if you can notice and name it. Ah, I'm feeling frustrated. Or, oh, I felt content at lunchtime, right? We can choose positive emotions for this practice too. Or, I feel weary in my mind or heart, like that's kind of an emotion. Or I feel wrung out. I feel used up. I feel all my resources are gone. Whatever it is, see if you can name it in a welcoming voice. Oh, hello, sadness, you're here. Come sit with me. Hello, anger. Ha, you're big today. I feel you. I see you. Come sit with me. And then the inquiry question is, how do I know that I'm feeling this emotion? Because we tend to stop our investigation when we name something. Oh, it's sadness. Okay, I'm sad. Let me feel sad. But how do you know you're sad? How do you know you are excited? And this brings us to our bodies. What sensations do you experience that you're labeling as this emotion? What sensations are you experiencing that you're labeling with the emotion that you're feeling? If you're excited, do you feel a little speedy or a little upflow of energy? Or I sometimes feel like effervescence in my chest, like bubbles from soda water. That's excitement for me. Or if you're feeling grief, how do you know that? Is there a lump in your throat or a hole in your chest? Or a tightness in your gut? See if you can identify one or two sensations that are this emotion. Notice where in your body you feel it. Your head or your hands or your back. And then just be there with these sensations. So if story arises, you can just say, not now. I'm trying to just be with this emotion as it's showing up in my body. With these sensations. And with your kind and mindful attention, just keep watching these sensations and see what happens to the sensations next. The sensations may stay exactly the same, or you might notice them shifting. Sometimes the sensation will spread out and feel more diffuse. Other times the sensation consolidates and gets smaller and maybe a little more intense. Sometimes a sensation may go to a different body area. So just track what begins to happen with these sensations. And again, you're not trying to change anything, you're not trying to get rid of the emotion. You're not trying to fix it or make yourself feel better. You're just tending to this visceral, more raw experience of the emotion as you feel it. Remember, if you zone out or if it feels too much, you can titrate and come back to your environmental external anchor. Right? Sometimes when we. when we tend to our emotions, we I lost my train of thought. Oh, sometimes it when can be hard to focus on the emotion, and sometimes we'll zone out or fall asleep or start thinking about something else, and that's sort of a natural titration. And so it's like, oh, okay, I thought I'm thinking about dinner. Okay, do I let me anchor with my external anchor, and then let me come back to myself and ask, what is here right now? Is this same emotion present? Do I still feel it in these places in my body in this way? Or has it changed? Right, so know that you can kind of go in and out as needed. And I'll let you have some quiet time to experiment with sensation, noticing changes or the sameness, titrating in and out if you need to. So just noticing the distraction of there's somebody with their microphone is not muted. And just notice where that takes your mind. And then see if you can come back again to what you're feeling, your emotion. And remember to do this with as much compassion as possible. This is not an easy practice to feel your feelings. It just isn't. And so giving yourself grace, giving yourself kindness of, oh, this is so hard today. Oh, I'm not sure I want to do this. Oh, this is so hard. Yes, it is. And of course, you're feeling what you're feeling. And what you're feeling is all okay. And so giving ourselves kind spaciousness, right? A lot of space to be with whatever it is we're feeling. And to titrate in and out as needed. And if you wish to focus on a different emotion, you're more than welcome. Say, yeah. Sandra, could you mute yourself, please? I think you're still, we hear you. Thank you. If there's another emotion present, you can focus on that and just notice it, name it, and then how do you know you're feeling this emotion? What sensations do you feel that you're naming as this emotion? And then just exploring, sensing into those sensations, seeing what happens to them next, and just being with them as they are. And if you want a different change, you could choose a positive emotion that maybe you can remember from earlier in the day to give a different quality of this investigation instead of just with challenging emotions. Maybe there was a moment of awe or wonder or delight or beauty or joy that you can also ask, how do I know I'm feeling joy or wonder? What is the sensation of that in my body? Again, no need to change or fix. You're just observing in a really kind way how emotion lives inside of you. And then, if you wish, you can continue investigating another emotion. Or if you wish, since it's the end of the day, to just let go of efforting and of focus in this practice and just allow yourself to sink into the backside of your body, leaning back and just letting yourself rest for a bit. And you can open your attention so that if thoughts come by, just allow this flow to happen. Thoughts will arise and float by and disappear. Emotions arise and then move away. And just feel yourself slowing down and just resting, not having to do anything. And as you do that, you can be curious as to the, there's a different quality inside of your body when you let go of the focused attention and just let yourself kind of drift and lean back and rest. And notice how your body takes that in, that invitation to rest. And even though it seems simple, just coming into being from the doing is also not the easiest. And so reminding yourself again and again, I don't have to do anything right now. I can just be here with this beautiful group and just rest, just rest. You might have a physiological shift in your body with settling into rest. I tend to yawn a lot. You might feel your breath slow down or your muscles soften. So just noticing and inviting your body to come into rest. You can also check in with your body and see if there's any automatic or habitual bracing in your musculature. Sometimes we just constantly hold our jaws tight or our shoulders. And again, just inviting the body to soften. And I'll close our practice today with another poem from Rosemary entitled, What I Didn't Know. At last, I'm learning it's okay to be scared to the morrow and still show up wholehearted. No shame it took so long to learn this truth. Just giddy relief to finally trust I can be clenched like a hedgehog. Or poised as a snake and still be open to finding love at the center of what scares me. And when I find no sprig of love there, that is the chance to offer love to the world any way I know how. With a gift, with my time, with words, with touch, or with a simple act of kindness. And if I find I have no love to muster, then that is the chance to plant seeds of love in whatever soil I find, and amend the ground, and bring light, bring water. So maybe take a moment to reorient to your space, look around, maybe stretch a little bit. I was yawning a lot. Yes, I will put the name of the poet. She, if you just Google her, she offers a poem a day coming automatically to your inbox of your email. And she's just lovely, lovely, lovely. So I am so curious to get your feedback on how this practice landed with you, if you had questions or challenges or what you noticed. And thank you to the six people who kept your cameras on. It helps me to teach to some faces, so I really, really appreciate that. So you can put this in the chat. It's exactly what you needed this week. Yeah, we need skill in learning how to sit with them because it's hard. Oh, you started with grief. Yeah. Lead with mild emotions. There was the invitation to start small. And sometimes what happens is what needs tending is something that's really big, and that's what comes up. And so hopefully you were able to sit with grief in a titrated, paced way enough where you could digest it, right? Metabolize it a bit, where you could just be on the same park bench together. And yes, the question, how do I know that I'm feeling this emotion? It's a very, very powerful question because it invites going down beyond the label of sad, upset, angry, you know, tired. Like, how do I know that? Like, this is a, you know, this is a part of us. And sometimes it's hard to find the physical sensation connected with the emotion, but it's there, even if it's subtle. And it takes practice, right, to sense into the emotional, physical sensation piece of our emotions. And I invite you to do this with some positive emotions too, because it can amplify them, right? When we, oh, I felt some awe today. Like, I saw a porcupine this morning on my bike ride when I was thinking about this class tonight, and I don't see them rarely, and it crossed over the bike path, and it went down to, came from the Rio Grande River. I'm in Albuquerque, and it was just a little pocket of delight to be able to see this little waddling creature that was in its home. And so you can tend to those. What did that delight feel like in my body? Is it expansive or uplifting? Is it energizing? Does it bring a smile to my face? Does it, right? So Sometimes we feel like we have to grind on the challenging emotions, and that's hard. So wonderful. One of you is writing, you've had a lot of trying days with a lot of negative energy. Now you feel more calm and reflective and kinder to yourself and others. Beautiful. Yeah, coming home to the body is helpful. And one of you writes, I signed up for Rosemary's Daily Poems the last time you read one. Each morning I gratefully start my day by reading her offerings. It's just beautiful. Yeah. I tended to something needing tending. Now I can bring it up again in order to do it right. Yeah, so you don't, what's right? It's a being with, right? It's a being with who we are as humans. Yeah, so a great question. What do you do if you feel a bit foggy or dissociated after practice? So that's a beautiful question. Often when we do a lot of internal focus on our sensation or our body, coming back, it's like, whoa, where am I? An orienting practice is always great grounding. And so, using your five senses, like in the psychology world, it's like, oh, notice five things that you see and four things that you hear and three things that you can touch and two that you can smell and one you can taste. I'm not very attached to the numbers of things, but choose a sensory doorway that's comfortable for you and say, whew, I'm back here. And maybe if vision is your is a doorway that's easy for you, it's like, oh, I notice my chamomile flowers sitting right in front of me, or I'm noticing that the light is changing in this later part of the day, or I see the red color of my hibiscus tea and I can feel this glass and it's a little cool and there's a fragrance to it. So orienting through the sensation, external sensation in our environment can help us come back to ourselves if you're foggy or dissociated. Also, moving your body and sometimes even pressing against, like pushing gently against a wall, or standing up and come up on your toes for a bit and then land with a little bounce on your heels, that weight of your body landing on your heels is proprioceptive input into your nervous system. It's boom, it's grounding, like boom, I'm here. So up on toes and then boom, down on your feet and up on toes. So that can help, but that's not uncommon. To feel that foggy. Yeah. And so another comment, I was raised in a passive family where we had to keep our emotions internalized. I did too. Negative emotions were not allowed in my family because they weren't spiritual enough. It was all ego. And so I never got any education in how to be present to my challenging emotions. So I've learned that later in life. Another comment, it was nice to tap into my emotions and found that my emotions were surprisingly positive. I had thoughts around thinking about being motivated and identifying it more and seeing my thoughts play out. I realized I was feeling more pressured than motivated. So this insight help me work out why I might be feeling more pressured at work rather than motivated. Beautiful. So that's investigation with learning to discern these subtle qualities of our emotions that are, neighboring emotions that are kind of similar, and being able to tease out these different qualities. So beautiful, beautiful practice. Thank you. And I'm not tending to your names and identifying you because I know that this is being recorded. So that's why I'm doing the chat the way that I am. Anybody else? I am going to type in the chat my Insight Timer link. So I teach on Insight Timer, which is a meditation app, and I have many, many offerings on there, both on the free side of the platform plus the paid side. It's, I think, $60 a year, and you have access to all the classes and the premium tracks. And I have a whole, if you're interested in the nervous system information, I have a whole 21-day course of exploring your nervous system using polyvagal theory. But I have a lot of materials on the free side of the platform as well. So yes, this practice was really f hard, but I found the lesson helpful. So I would like to ask you, in what way was it helpful? It was hard but helpful. I would love to know a little more if you're willing to share how it was helpful or what you learned. If you wish to, it's really challenging. You know, we're not taught to sit with, and emotions can be big. We can sometimes feel tsunamied. Yeah, finding the emotion I'm feeling, yeah, was helpful. Yeah, finding and then not being in the story, but just the experience of. Yeah, I really love the inviting my disparate parts back to center. Yeah, this is part of my practice is bringing all the aspects of myself back to me. Yeah, small titration is important, little bits at a time. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for yes, so I'll give you both my website and my Insight Timer. Yep, so the first link that I just posted is my Insight Timer page, where my email or where my website is also posted. And I do live sessions typically every Saturday, not this coming Saturday, on a variety of topics. So you can follow me there and get notifications if you wish to turn that on about my live sessions. I think the next one I'm doing is on mindful rest as nervous system support. I have topics on grief and on emotions and on, acknowledging invisible growth. I've been teaching live almost weekly on Insight Timer for, I'm in my sixth year. I started my sixth year in January. So it's a beautiful community. Lots of folks come on there, and it's similar. I don't see your faces, but I see the chat if you wish to put in the chat. But it's lovely. It's very nourishing to me as a teacher. So, anything else? Oh, here's one more comment. Hokey pokey. Yep. It's a good one. And it's kind of joyful, Just sing it and shake it off and turn around and then put the next limb in. It's a good practice. Another comment. My habit has been to distract from discomfort. So today helped me to learn to sit with uncomfortable sensations and emotion, feel where and what they are like in the body. And that's so beautiful, because you're not abandoning yourself, right? Like when we're having a hard time, we want a friend that we can connect with that won't just say, "Whoa, you're too prickly today. I don't want to be around you." And when we distract ourselves from the challenging parts or even the good parts of what we're experiencing, we leave ourselves, right? We kind of abandon ourselves. So the live events are free. Anyone can join. And the link to it is so on the home page, if you go to the bottom on your phone and click on teachers, there's another little menu and there's a live events. And then you can, there's hundreds of live events all through almost every hour across the 24-hour spectrum, because there's, I don't know, over 20,000 teachers on Insight Timer. It's a huge platform. So, yes, and Serena just dropped in the UCLA Mindful Offerings. And so the Thursday sessions mentioned on my website, yes, I am still doing those. I usually will post, if I'm not going to be present for that, I will usually post that on my website. But I have a link on my website, and those are just very informal 30-minute small gatherings, and you're more than welcome to join those as well. So, thank you. Yes, it was exactly what I needed. So, what I noticed in myself as a shift as a teacher was I was more actively holding space while I was guiding you through the emotional practice. And then when I invited you to rest, that's when my yawning started, which is my body's signal that I'm down regulating. And so it was nice to know, like, okay, I don't have to be so actively teaching right now. I can also lean back and rest with all of you. And oh, then the yawns kept starting. And oh, I probably yawned like 10 times in the space of the time that we were resting together. So if there's not any else, any comment, I just want to thank you for your time. It's always meaningful me for me to teach. I love teaching, and thank you for your presence and your willingness to show up for yourselves. That's what is so needed in this world. So I think we're done. Much love to all of you. Take care of your dear hearts. Be well. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.